In Jesus' name, you foul religion, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you and I rebuke you off of the face of the earth. I command you to wither at the root and die and go away and go back to the hell that you came from. In the name of Jesus Christ, I curse you. I resist you. You will not live. You will not thrive on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Freeing people from guilt and shame and finding a capacity in their heart to love others and feel more connected to their brother and sister, and you've got more joy and a little more peace on a daily basis. Imagine sharing that with the world, because you know that's rare.
Webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for the 12th of September 2013 from our studios right here in Nashville, Tennessee. And from Houston, Texas, please welcome from the Gospel Revolution headquarters our founder and president, Michael Williams.
Good evening, Bears Bartlett.
Good evening, mate. It was a nice day today, wasn't it?
It really was. You know, we're at that time of the year where the days are getting shorter. My goodness.
What are we going to talk about today, Michael?
I don't have a clue. How about you?
Well, I know that today is the first day of our autumn pledge drive.
This is true. So we do have a lot to talk about. We've got some really good things going on. And I think Jeff has some fantastic prizes and gifts lined up for those who contribute $1 million and more. So hang on.
I heard that first prize is a week with you.
That's the $1 million prize, yes.
and I heard that second prize was 2 weeks with you. So we're giving prizes out, eh? We're getting desperate, I suppose.
Oh, believe me, I'm for sale cheaper than that. So
no, that's good. So stick around with us where we say at the beginning of our autumn pledge drive with that Roman philosopher and statesman Lucius Gnaeus Seneca, a gift consists not in what is done or given, but in the intention of the giver or doer.
Find me someone satisfied the law, and that means there's no sinners anymore. In the body of one all die, and in the body of one all alive.
Realize that you and God are one, and God and you are one, and draw on that power that's on the inside of you, and then educate educate your mind as to what the gospel can do for your mind, your brain power. And just let it happen. Just let it happen. Just and be easy on yourself. Don't judge yourself so hard like I did for 40 years. Just forgive yourself and move on.
Hi, Paris. This is Mike from Colorado. I'm not much for a bunch of words. What I can say is that the impact of the gospel on my life has relieved me of a lot of shame and guilt in my life, some that I didn't even know was there. It actually brought it to life. And the other thing it's done for me is helped me really understand the message of the Bible. It is so crystal clear now. And that just gives me a lot of freedom and confidence in life in general.
And how it has impacted me. God bless. Gospel Revolution.
Did you have an interesting week, Michael?
Yes, Jeff Robertson is here. And that, of course, makes any week interesting when Brother Jeff is around and getting things done, getting things accomplished. We've been working specifically on the history of the Gospel Revolution. I found a treasure trove of two calendars and one address book. The address book goes back quite far. It's amazing the numbers and names I have crossed off. And then the address books are my calendars for 96, 97, 98, and 99. So I'm actually able to go back and document some times when certain things happened. Well, one of the things that we were able to document, and then I got interested in, then I went back and listened to, and then I told Jeff we need to post this every place that we can, was my series that I did on the Great High Priest. The Great High Priest was recorded in two different churches. I taught for 3 days. I had a day off. We moved to another church. And then I did 3 more days at that church.
Why, did they kick you out of the first church?
No, we only scheduled 3 days, but I had a 6-day seminar. And these two pastors knew each other. This was my last visit at both of these churches. I really want to encourage people about watching this on YouTube. You're not going to get any better than this. This is full-on gospel revolution videos. This is a very professional production of this series called The Great High Priest. I watched number 2 and it was just blown away. It was really weird because I recorded these 15 years ago and I'm sitting here learning from these things and listening to this. And of course, it was 15 years ago, so I'm looking at a man that does not exist anymore.
Hey, listen, I listened to number 1.
Yeah?
It put me to sleep. And then Jeff tells me, oh man, number 2 is so good. And I'm going, do I want to sleep that bad?
You're no good for advertising at all. Jeez.
So listen, family, you make sure and listen to this. It's a fantastic show. You'll be on the edge of your seat listening to this Great High Priest. Gee, how about that? Is that okay? Have I done better?
You know, sometimes putting Band-Aids over wounds just is not the best thing to do. You just need to leave it open to air.
Yeah. How, that's where the flies get to it. Hey, where did folks find this?
So, yes, it's on YouTube and YouTube channel Gospel Revolution 1. But as we go through this series, it is so obvious that Christianity has gotten so much, so completely wrong, that it is just amazing. And for those of you who love the Gospel Revolution, let me tell you, you're going to love this video series, even though it is 15 years old. The Great High Priest touches every subject of the gospel. It touches the issue of sin. righteousness, relationship, qualification, confession of sin, priesthood, and the fact that this priesthood was not appointed by the law. Moses, the giver of the law, never spoke of this priesthood. The Levite priesthood was appointed by the law, but Jesus is appointed high priest by promise. Why would we accept a high priest that was not given to us by God's law, but was given to us by promise, and then return back to the law to learn how to relate to our new high priest?
Oh, that's good. So, family, if you want to hear this, get on up to YouTube, www.youtube.com. Look for the channel Gospel Revolution, the digit 1, Gospel Revolution 1, or just to search for Mike Williams, Gospel Revolution, and the Great High Priest series is up there. You'll see a Mike with a lot more hair. Was that a wig you were wearing, buddy?
Listen in your office, in your car, or even your neighborhood bar. You can listen with your whole family. Dua.
Hi, guys. This is Kim, and I just wanted to leave a quick thank you to Mike, Jeff, and you, Perez, and everyone responsible for making the Gospel Revolution possible. It's been a few years since I came across Mike, and for the first couple of years, I listened nonstop daily to his teachings, and even today, I rarely, if ever, miss a podcast. My story's too long, but in a nutshell, I suffered from insomnia, anxiety, and even panic attacks, and so much confusion and so many questions. And the questions I've been taught were never acceptable as far as the answers go. And the mass confusion and stress just intensified. But I've been sleeping soundly now for a few years, and my mind is at peace, and I no longer have incessant babbling conversations with myself. I don't live in fear, and I've lost the need to please others. I actually like myself. And I'm okay if someone else doesn't. I'm balanced, and I don't think I'm better than or less than. I don't need to find fault in others to elevate myself. I don't fear for others, and I don't need to change people. I accept them exactly where they are. How this all worked, I'm not sure, but it did. And the difference in me is night and day. So I'm eternally grateful to all of you, and I just wanted to give a quick thank you and a small testimonial to the fact that this does work. How it does, I don't know, but it does. And I wanted to, again, say thank you to all of you. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Gospel Revolution.
I'm going to try and get Mike Blanch into the show here, but I just haven't been able to make the connection, the three-way connection yet. So, tell me, Michael, have you got your mansion yet? Have you got your all the money that we're making in this business? Have you? Did you put the new pools in? That's plural.
Well, I think that it could all fit on a flatbed truck if they were going to build my mansion right now. So,
oh, like a demountable classroom. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Now we are starting fall pledge drive. We're so excited on so many levels, as we've told you. We now live in a space that we have not lived in for 15 years, and that is all old past debt is gone. And this is where I would be doing a hallelujah dance, and we would all be shouting and screaming, praise the Lord. We're so grateful to have gotten past this former debt. Things are turning around, and they are making a drastic turn. It's just that we incurred expenses that we just were not expecting. We are setting a goal for this pledge drive of $10,000 to put this into a place where we can move forward and begin to take up some of our responsibilities. Everybody knows, as my heart is Kenya. We have not been able to throw the support to Kenya. The radio show is off the air, and we really need this radio show to be up and running again on so many levels.
Can I read you a letter we just got from Kenya, mate?
Yes, please do.
Okay. It reads, Shukrani nyingi na prisionos Kutoka kwa Musa Elizabeth Joshua na Rich Bright. Na kutoka kwa wanafunzi wote wa shule ya maandiko na wa chuo cha kimataifa.
Barris.
Yeah, what?
Barris.
What?
You're going to have to give it to us in English.
You Americans.
We insist on it being our way.
Thank heavens for that, because that was starting to hurt.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Okay, you just get on with your cursing, mate, and I'll read the letters, all right?
Jesus' name.
Oh, gosh, I just felt that. Jumbo. Many thanks and appreciations from Moses, Elizabeth, Joshua, and Rich Bright, and from the entire students of the School of the Scriptures and of International College of Journalism in Nakuru, Kenya. To you, Mike, and all the gospel revolutionaries who supported this cause, we say thanks a million. The Book 1 translation into Swahili and Japanese still continues, although at a slower pace due to some challenges, but it will be over soon and be ready for publishing. The radio show that we had before left indelible marks on the hearts of many in the Kenyan community and beyond borders. We now have two Sudanese nationals who are students of the School of the Scriptures after they listen to CDs by Mike Williams. We wish to engage the radio show again if possible, uninterrupted radio show. I'm having problems in English, mate. I was doing pretty damn well in Swahili. Thanks very much. We wish to engage the radio show again, if possible, uninterrupted radio show, but the finances are letting us down. A 30-minute radio show is currently going for 30,000 Kenyan shillings. We usually have one in English and another in Swahili in the same week. Going by this, the charges will be 60,000 Kenyan shillings per week, which translates to 240,000 Kenyan shillings a month. Family, on the current exchange rate, that's roughly $2,800 US a month. That would break down into about $100 a day. These people, for $100 a day, are reaching right across Kenya through the borders into three other countries we know of at least, and it is helping them in their income production, but it's also helping them in getting the gospel out. They promised to give 1 week show for free if we take a 2 months contract and free advertisements for the College of Journalism and School of the Scriptures during that same period in time. The Book 1 copies are already in demand, as listeners are already aware of it in town. The International College of Journalism is doing all right. Students are still inquiring, but admissions are minimal due to stiff competition in town and advertising challenges. We usually advertise the college by printing posters and stick them on trees, electric posts and walls within town and outside of town. We already have 17 students in class now, 8 taking computer applications, 1 taking graphic design, and 8 diploma in media, of which 2 are on sponsorship and 3 are committed staff. We also wish to acquire equipment for the college for the television studio, such as cameras, vision mixer, and lighting as we go along. On behalf of all in Kenya, sincere thanks to Mike and all of you GRs. Thank you, thank you, thank you. With love, Moses Gata, Nakuru, Kenya. What he is achieving over there, has this fella ever asked us for any money, mate?
Not a single time. This translations of the book are completely in their charge. Our first programs over there were paid for by the students in the School of Scriptures. I know a lot of times that people wonder, you know, what in the world are we doing with these funds? Number one, getting caught up. Number two, there is so much that we have that is available to us to do. Two Sudanese nationals added to the School of Scriptures. When you have things like that happening and we actually have no funds going in there from us whatsoever at this moment, what they could do with a little boost from us. This whole thing there is very, very close to my heart. I want to be able to fund these guys, if at all possible. 6 months ago, I borrowed $3,000 so that I could send those funds to Kenya. They were in a particular position to where that they were losing staff members because of an inability to pay. Now, these staff members, you got to understand, they also have an outreach to the local orphanage. It is part of their curriculum that they go and take things and they don't send this stuff in. They go to the orphanage themselves and they spend time with the children and they take things to the children and they take food to the children. And they are doing things that I can't do. So I did this not with Gospel Revolution funds. I did this with my own funds. And personally, I borrowed $3,000 to send over to these guys. It's very difficult for me to know that such a small amount of support can go such a long, long way in being able to reach this continent there in Africa. We have people on the East Coast and on the West Coast now who are online and they're debating this gospel. They're talking about it. Goodness gracious, the number of people in the School of Scriptures from so many different groups. As we've told you many times, the different religions represented in the School of Scriptures is unprecedented. I don't know of anything like it happening on the earth. Somebody show me where that people from several different religions that are, by declaration, almost at war with each other around the planet, sitting down learning the gospel all in one room together. This is great hope for this planet, and it may be in a small place. And it may be taking place in small ways. But I'm begging you guys, please help me. We have so much to do. We have so much we can do. So help. We love you guys so much. The comments that you guys are sending in are so filled with passion. We know that you love us. We know that you love the Gospel Revolution. And we know that you love the people of this planet. And we are asking that you look over your finances and see if there is a possibility that you could help us come up with $10,000 to where that we can get on top of this. And that also includes being able to send these funds off to Kenya. Now, the $800 I owe that out of my personal funds. And just as quickly as I get caught up, I'll pay that back. But I'm asking you to help us. We're not looking to become wealthy. We're not looking to raise anyone's salary. I'm looking forward to next year. I turn 62 next August. And I've figured out a way that I can go on retirement. I can go ahead and draw my Social Security and that my income from the ministry will drop to $15,000 a year. And I can get by on my Social Security, and you can make $15,000 a year and stay on Social Security. And that way, by my going ahead and taking my Social Security, even though it will cut my income, it will benefit the ministry, of course, over $15,000 a year by me taking those actions. So we're doing everything. Let me tell you, Barris got mad at me this week because I added $30 to his paycheck, which was not a very high percentage increase whatsoever. But I think these people deserve to be paid. Jeff deserves to be paid. And everyone is doing what they do without asking me for anything. This staff, from myself to Barris to Jeff and Hazel, this staff would continue doing what they do without a penny coming in for the services rendered. I've already done it. I not only did it without pay, I did it with it infringing upon and destroying the income that I had coming in. I have gathered around me now people with exactly like hearts. I'm not sure that's a very smart thing to do because we've got a whole group of people living to absolutely willing to live in abject poverty to be able to get this gospel out. So help us do this. I promise you we are not squandering one penny of the funds. We pay the bills and we do all we can do to help get the gospel out.
When I started these powercasts, one week there were the webcasts, and the next week there was a vacuum, it seemed. This is over a year ago now, of course, and I didn't really know Mike that well. actually pretty much at all. And I said to Jeff, who I developed a friendship with, mate, you don't have to go a week without a webcast. We can do this. We can fill this gap.
Yes.
So I took the gear that I had and somehow we cobbled together a few shows that gave us some continuum until we morphed into what we are today. In the meantime, I've bought equipment and I continue to buy equipment and I really desperately want more equipment, and I'll tell you why. We want to produce a video PowerCast. We want to turn this into something which can go onto YouTube, and on YouTube, our hits have continued to rise, but if you can imagine when you can show a video cast instead of just an audio cast, what you're doing is engaging people's senses all the way around. I just don't have the equipment for it. It won't take very much for us to raise the level of what we're doing to a level where many times the number of people we are touching now can be touched. And we're asking you, family, we're asking you to put your hands in your pockets. And really, I don't know any. I'm just a blunt Aussie, and I'm just going to be as straight as I know how to. We have known over our lives some people with the shortest arms and the longest pockets, and we know that you're not that because you have so blessed this ministry, so blessed what we've been able to do. We couldn't ask for better people. Help us to put this gospel on the air in Kenya. Help us to put this gospel on YouTube as a video. Help us to magnify and multiply what this gospel is achieving. Every day we got new people coming in on Facebook. I see new people from Africa on Facebook. I can't wait until they're Indian faces. I can't wait till they're Chinese faces. And we're not far from it, family. Honest to goodness, we are not that far from it, are we, Mike?
No, exactly. And I know that it may sound cliche, but it is a fact. We will never ask you guys to do what we are not already doing. The times that I've had to go to another room and just spend time alone when I've heard that Barris has gone out and bought another piece of equipment that I can't send him the funds to pay for it. It's tough for me because I appreciate what's being done, but we're just doing more. We are responding to the demand for the gospel. We're not trying to open up markets for the gospel. We're trying to meet the demand where it has opened up. So we do ask for your help. You know, we threw away all of the hooks and crooks and promises, the promises of blessings, the warnings of cursings, that's all gone.
I told you before, and I'm going to tell you again, Mike, we need to go with the prayer cloths.
Yes, or a little vial of Houston holy water anyway. So Jeff gets on the phone. I don't know how he does it. I swear I don't know how he does it, but he does. He does it every quarter. Now, Jeff loves talking to everybody, but it's not like that this comes up and Jeff is going, oh, hooray, we have pledge drive coming. It's not a pleasant thing that he does, but he does it because of his commitment to this work. I think it'd be a good idea if you guys hear from Jeff.
Oh, mate.
What do you think about that?
No, I don't like it at all, mate. You got a dreadful voice, no presentation. He's an old woman. He's just going to go on for hours.
I know. Okay. But you know what? Sometimes
I know
we just
what.
Have
I know
to
what.
Settle for what we got.
I know what. You're the boss. What you say goes. Okay, boss.
All right.
Family, let me introduce you to the voice that you mostly only hear on the phone, and that's Jeff Robertson. And he is our magic man in the office down there in Houston. How are you, Jeff?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, thanks.
Mate, Michael and I were just saying how anyone gets on the phone and does what you do is, how many aspirins do you take at night?
Oh, you know, it's funny. I call it robocalling. The only thing is, though, it really isn't because I'm not a robot, but I have to act like one. I am just busy dialing numbers, and I think maybe one out of every 10 calls I dial answers. And so then, of course, it's repeat dialing, and I do this over the course of 3 weeks. And yes, I love talking to the folks. They love to talk about the gospel. We love to talk about the gospel. So once I do get somebody on the phone, it's on average a 30-minute to an hour phone call. And
how many phone calls do you make a month in your estimation, mate?
A month?
The average week of a pledge drive.
Oh, the average week of a pledge drive. Oh, I make about 200 phone calls a week.
And how many do you field?
How many do I field?
How many?
Oh, you mean
How many do you
that I get?
Yeah.
Now you got to understand, when somebody's calling the ministry, they have something they really need to talk about. So it's not going to be a quick, hey, just wanted to say hi. That's definitely going to be an hour, maybe 2 hour phone call. And I would say I get 20 of those a week on average. Some weeks a little less, some weeks a little more. I answer my phone 24/7, 7 days a week. And those calls don't come in Monday through Friday at 9 to 5. They come in the evenings, on the weekends, sometimes very early morning or very late at night. But I make myself available to people because we are in contact with thousands of people who hear from us. That doesn't mean we hear from these same thousands. There are people that we know because of our statistics that we see off of our website around the world. There are people who are listening to this PowerCast every week. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them that we've never heard from. They've never spoken up and say, hey, I'm so-and-so and I've been listening. But we do know there are regular listeners because we get the statistics. We don't know who they are. We don't know them by name or anything other than they are a statistic that comes through on our reports.
How many countries are we heard in?
Our website is viewed in almost 194 countries, which is that's all the countries there are is 194. We are heard in about 90 of them. And that means 90 countries, most of which are not English-speaking, right? Our program is in English, so we're definitely heard more in English-speaking countries, United States, Australia, Canada, Belize, the United Kingdom, Ireland. We're definitely heard in the English-speaking countries more, South Africa as well. But we are listened to in 90 countries.
How many newsletters do we send out every month?
We send email newsletters out 4 to 5 times a month. We send newsletters out in the postal service, the actual paper kind, every quarter. The newsletters in email form go out to about 900 people. The newsletters in paper form go out to about 750 people. And you got to understand, these people only barely overlap. In other words, out of those two groups, email newsletter versus paper newsletter, there's probably only about 150, 200 of them that actually overlap. So right there, there's almost 1,800 people right there. And then, of course, we have our listeners. And all of a sudden, you realize we're communicating to thousands, but we only hear from a couple hundred. The majority of our finances come from donations. Yes, we sell CDs and we sell downloads. Those sales, though, they probably paid for all my utilities because the ministry paid for my utilities, my internet, my phone, things like that when I was back in Florida. But those sales barely covered those utilities. What we live on and what we use financially to support what we're doing and our outreach and our equipment and everything else, that comes from donations.
If somebody was out there right now and they have never donated to the Gospel Revolution before, what would you say to them?
I would say, you know, there's no donation required. We don't expect a donation. I can tell them how helpful it would be with any donation they would give, though.
What would you spend the money on?
We would spend the money on getting ourselves better equipment and actually being able to produce more things that can go out to more people to get more people to hear. Let me just give you an example. First of all, of the thousands that we communicate to and only hear from a couple hundred back, but we know we are communicating to thousands every month. Our core support comes from less than 200 people. And some of the donations are very small. Some people are giving hundreds a month, but that's less than 10 of them. And the remaining 150, 200, you know, they give anywhere from $5 to $25 a month. And there's a handful of people who give about $50 a month. That's where our core support comes in. I got a phone call yesterday from a guy who just started listening to us in November of last year. And he called me yesterday. He did not know we were starting a pledge drive. And he called me and said, you know what? I want to make a small monthly donation, and I'm going to do a unique amount, but that's because I'm on a fixed income, and I want to do $7.77 a month. And the reason it's that is because I thought about $7, but when I check my bank account, I do it over the phone, and I listen to the transactions over the phone, I won't recognize $7, but I'll recognize $7.77. This man's on a very limited income. But you got to understand the reason he wanted to do this. He's on a limited income, and he's not even sure he can afford this, but he's going to do it. And he told me he wanted us to announce it on the PowerCast because he thought that might inspire other people, because he knows the more people who give, the more we're going to get this message out. You know, we're on the radio off and on in Kenya. We can't do it regularly yet, but that radio hits East Africa. It hits almost all of Kenya, 80% of Kenya. It hits Eastern Uganda, the Sudan, even parts, I believe, of Somalia. So that's East Africa. And if everybody that we're in communication to who has never given to us before, if they each gave $7.77, that would more than triple our current annual income. We could be on the radio here in the United States. Now, we'd have to do it very strategically. But if we got on the radio in the United States, people would be talking about us. They would either love us or they'd hate us. But then this message would not be the big secret that it is. This would be well known. And what we talk about in this country, people hear about in other countries. We would be really getting our voice heard. You know, when you hear some of these testimonials that have been coming in, we have saved lives. We take these calls. This message has saved lives. Yeah, I want to save the whales too. I love the whales, and I'm a true tree hugger. I really am. And I try to do whatever I can to be conscientious about that. I also give to this ministry because we save lives. Like Mike said, we're not asking anybody to do anything that we don't do ourselves. I give monthly to the ministry. Mike gives monthly to the ministry. We take our finances and buy things when we know the money's not in the account ourselves. You do that. You contribute to this ministry. We are not paid a lot. You and I are not paid a lot. Mike is not paid a lot. He's the one who founded this ministry. He's the one who has given you and me a vehicle to help get this message out. We're riding in Mike's car. And let me tell you, Mike needs a bigger car and a new car. I really do love y'all, and I would love to hear from the folks who have never emailed us or never called us, but we know they're there because we get statistics saying how many people have visited our website or listened to our PowerCast or watched our YouTube videos, and I know you're out there. I would love to hear from every one of you. I just want to let you guys know I really care, and we really care. Mike really cares, and we love hearing from you, even if you don't have a dime to give. We want to hear from you. You're priceless.
Now, we want to also remind our listeners that we have a $10,000. Now, I know this is a pledge drive show, Michael, and I want to assure our people that our $10,000 dare, our challenge to all healers in the world who want to come and heal all the children in a hospital that we choose, and one floor of the whole hospital needs to be emptied out. All the beds need to be emptied. The kids all need to be healed, and we will hand over $10,000 to them. This hasn't gone away. We raised this some shows back, and it still stands, but we want to assure you, family, this money is not your money that'll be going to pay that. That'll be our money out of our own pockets. We have the guts to stand on what we believe, and that is to say, if healers could heal, why on earth are they going to big stadiums where they can get a lot of money instead of just going to a children's hospital where kids are dying of cancer? Just wanted to throw that in there. Hey, Michael, I was thinking this morning, I was reading something on the web, and this thing said, may the Lord open your eyes so that you see this, or may the Lord bless you. Why would anyone say, may the Lord do anything, unless they weren't real sure if he could do anything?
Well, I think it's more that they're not very sure about their own comments and statements, and that you have to validate it by these terms that, you know, well, if you knew what I knew, the Lord would show it to you, because they don't have an argument. And that's the basis of comments like this. And how many times have we heard that? Goodness gracious. I've heard it. I've said it. Well, I just pray that the Lord will open your eyes, brother. Yeah.
You patronizing soul, man.
And I've said now, I haven't done that in a week, I bet.
I've done the same, buddy. You know what Pope John Paul said, mate? He said, stupidity is also a gift of God, but one mustn't misuse it.
Okay.
Hey, Mike, have a listen to this. We played this last week. This is one of our dear friends, Betty Lou from Canada, and just have a quick listen to this again, mate.
Hi, this is Betty Lou Hagen. I'm calling from Gabriela, British Columbia in Canada. I just wanted to share a bit with you about my journey. It's been a long journey for me, about 30 years. I was dying of cancer and my marriage was breaking up and I was falling to pieces, and one day I experienced the love and forgiveness of Jesus. It was in 1979. And I went from total depression to being full of joy. And I was immediately surrounded by Word of Faith teaching. The person that reached out to me was in that faith. And so I listened to tapes and teachings from so many faith teachers, and my mind was totally immersed in Word of Faith. Over a long period of time, I gradually lost what I experienced because I had so experienced just being totally loved and forgiven and accepted. And I started to feel fear of everything. I wasn't performing well enough. My family was going to hell. I just couldn't do it all. And I went from performance, or from relationship with Jesus, to performance. One night I went to a full gospel meeting. I think it was in the 1980s. And the speaker was Mike Williams. And I think this was his first series of tapes on the grace of God, and I purchased them. I listened to these tapes many, many times, and I felt almost like a lifeline was being tossed to me. But I continued with Word Faith for about 20 years. But at the same time, I listened to Mike's teachings as well, and I tried to balance Word Faith with the love, grace, and mercy of God. But I guess you probably know it doesn't work. You just get more confused. And in my heart, like, I knew something was wrong because I was so full of fear. But I assumed for a while it was just my poor performance. Eventually, my life fell apart, and I felt the same fear and desperation that I had before I experienced Jesus. And I was diagnosed with cancer again that had spread, and the church, because I wasn't healed, they shunned me. And my daughter was not performing well on the praise and worship team either, and so they just asked our family to leave the church because they thought we weren't good enough for them. And at that time, I felt totally dead inside. But I kept receiving Mike's teachings on Jesus and on the gospel of grace and peace and redemption for all. And I have come through the last 15 years to a measure of peace and joy again. I'm realizing now that Jesus has done so much more than I could have ever known or understood. His teaching, Mike's teaching on Jesus, rings really true in my heart. It brings joy and peace, and I'm gradually getting rid of the fear. And the scriptures are alive again in my heart and my mind. I have assurance that I'm loved and accepted by my Father and Jesus, regardless of my performance. It has been a long struggle to get rid of the religious stuff that I believed. But through the gospel of grace and peace, it's happening. The truth seems so obvious now, I can't even understand how I ever missed it. But I did. I don't have to really try and make the gospel or the New Testament fit together now, because I see what the scriptures are and what the epistles are and how the different writers had different opinions and different experiences. So I'm just really blessed by all that I have heard and learned. The truth is really the truth of the gospel. And I just want to thank you all for this ministry. Jesus is continuing to bring life to me through you all. Thank you very, very much. And hopefully we'll be in touch with you again. And thanks for sending me the tapes. Okay, bye-bye.
Wow, Barris, the only thing wonderful we could get out of this story is if it was an isolated incident. However, It is far from an isolated incident in the Word of Faith movement and many other brands of churches where people have been ostracized and kicked out because of divorce. This family that has been ostracized because they simply are loving their child who is gay and is getting married. It would be so wonderful if these stories that we are presenting were exceptions to the rule, but they don't seem to be. I'm going to share two stories, and then I'm going to give you one point. And the two stories
That's better than church. We only get one story and 3 points. But we
I know.
But at least
so
we get a poem.
I turned it upside down here for you. This is just two situations in my process of being in the Word of Faith movement. If I sat down and thought about it, I could make up a whole list. One of the stories was in the Northeast. I believe it was in New Jersey at a church that I had attended and a family that I had become close to, at least to be on the phone with on occasion. And everyone was in church schools and nobody was sending their kids to public school. These folks were in a church school. It was so far away from home, they had to carpool. So 1 week, one parent would take all of the kids, and the next week, another parent would take all the kids. And there was a huge snow and ice storm at which all of the public schools closed. But it would have been a lack of faith to not go ahead and take these kids to school. So they chose to not do like the public schools, and they decided to go ahead and have class.
Yeah, it would have been a lack of faith because they should be trusting God to provide their safety?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That God would be providing their safety and that it would be in an act of unbelief to close school because of that day. So the children went on, and all three of their children were killed in a car accident on those icy roads trying to get to and from school. The church held the funerals, and within 3 weeks after all of their children were buried, the church pastor and the elders called them in and told them that they were going to have to ask them to leave the church because they did not want their lack of faith infecting the rest of the church.
What was their lack of faith? But didn't they send the kids to school?
Well, their lack of faith was that their children were killed, so they evidently were not trusting God.
Wow.
Cruelty to the bone. Oh, my gosh. So here this family is suffering the loss and then being kicked out as that there's some failure, spiritual failure on their part that has caused or allowed this to happen.
Now, when we're talking Word of Faith, I just want to clarify for some of our listeners who might be unfamiliar with that term. What we are talking about is a particular, a very large, almost mainline stream of thought in modern Pentecostal churches at large, but also in charismatic churches. And this stream of thinking is the one that you will see mostly on television. If you speak it out, you'll get it. Blab it and grab it is what some people denigrate it as. The concept that your faith can do anything you like. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can throw this mountain into the sea or get this car of your desires, house of your desires, wife of your desires, family of your desires, anything of your desires. In fact, all you've got to do is have the faith for it. Am I overstating it there, Michael? And these people might be loosely congregated around such names as Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes, Jesse Duplantis, and many others whose names aren't quite as well known as those. But essentially, the teaching that dominates this section would be faith healing and the prosperity doctrine. Do I have that right, Michael?
Yes. With the Word of Faith movement, it became if you said it, then God was obligated to do it. And if you said anything, if you even said, I have a cold, you were in unbelief. I got rebuked for having a cough lozenge in my mouth. The person that Norval had placed me under, I remember I'd popped a throat lozenge, and he really had a bad attitude. And I finally asked him what was wrong, and he said, that stuff. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, then he told me it was my throat lozenges that he was so upset about. And I said, well, why? And he said, smells like doubt and unbelief to me. So that was the attitude that this doctrine generated. Every time self-righteousness is given vent, it will come up with cruelty. It just does that. I don't know why. My other story is some friends in Seattle, Washington, and at some point got involved in a church there. And their daughter, who was about 30 years old, I believe she was married at the time also, was diagnosed with cancer. So they followed the church's protocol about cancer, and the issue was that they could not make any negative comments or say anything negative whatsoever. So as their daughter was getting worse, of course, the mother was there with her daughter a bit more than the father. He was going about his daily business life. And one particular evening, without going into all of the story of the decline of this girl's health, he was supposed to go on a business trip, and she stopped him and said, "Please, I don't think that you should go out on this business trip, because our daughter seems to be failing pretty quickly right now." And he rebuked his wife and told her that he would not allow the devil to control his life with unbelief. And so he went out on the business trip. Later that evening, it became obvious to his wife, as the doctors had told them, that she was taking her last breaths. She called him again out on the road and asked him to return home. And he rebuked her again and told her he was not going to listen to doubt and unbelief. And he bound the devil and said, "I will not listen to this." And then, of course, he came home to a daughter that had died and a family that was grieving. This story is particularly ironic. And I do place ironic in there. There's nothing spiritual about this story at all. This is spiritual abuse, but there's nothing spiritual about it. The family was then just a few weeks later, I don't think it was a very long time after that, they also had the elders and the pastor meeting, and they sat down with them and told them that they were going to have to ask them to leave the church for the very same reason, because they did not feel that it was fair to expose the entire church to the infection of their doubt and unbelief in the fact that their daughter had died. The irony of this story is that about a year later or so, Alaska Airlines were flying routes from Seattle down to Cancun. And many people will remember this flight. It was a very tragic, tragic flight. And as it was on its return flight back from Cancun, passing up the coast, it lost hydraulics, I believe is the story. And I remember the reports of it, and they said that it was a particularly heinous crash in that the plane flew upside down for a good period of time before it ever crashed into the waters off of the coast of California, trying to make a turn to get back in and to do an emergency landing in LAX. As it turns out, the pastor and his wife of this church, who had just before excommunicated this couple for their doubt and unbelief, they were on the plane, and they died in this crash tragically. Nobody rejoices about that, but the church, in such denial, began to say that the pastor's wife was up preaching the gospel and that this was somehow a special dispensation of God to get all these people on this airplane saved, and that she was up and had taken over the microphone and was preaching and leading people in salvation prayers and all of this. And then, of course, the voice box recorders came back. And there was nothing on the voice box recorder except the sounds of screams of everyone on that aircraft. So it is a tragic doctrine. Now, I've told you two stories. Now I want to make a point.
Do we get a poem?
In these cases.
Is there a poem first?
No poem.
Just a point. Okay.
Just a point. Here's the point. I started thinking about this, and knowing what I know now about the Word of Faith movement and much of Christianity that inflicts this kind of pain on families because life happens to them. If I knew then what I know now, and if I said now what I used to say then, let me tell you what I would say if I knew then what I know now. And this is what I would have said back then. In Jesus' name, you foul religion, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you and I rebuke you off of the face of the earth. I command you to wither at the root and die and go away and go back to the hell that you came from. In the name of Jesus Christ, I curse you. I resist you. You will not live. You will not thrive on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. But since I don't do what I used to do, I won't do that. I wish I would have known then what I know now. There's tragedies taking place. Let me tell you something. It is one thing for tragedy to take place in lives of people around this planet who are involved in multitudes of religions. Hey, listen, I'm all for you in those moments that you offer comfort. For those of you that compound the pain of a suffering humanity, you really need to be very glad that I don't now do what I did then, because I would be driving around your buildings, cursing them in the name of Jesus, commanding them to close. Betty Lou, thank you so much, darling, for coming forward and announcing the abuse that you went through. And now Kenneth Copeland Ministries, they're in the headlines because of this same bull. Just 2 weeks ago, an outbreak of measles took place at Kenneth Copeland's church, which his daughter is the pastor of.
Kelly Copeland.
Yes, Kelly. Her last name is not Copeland anymore, and I can't remember it. It was something else. I remember her being married and then divorced.
About 20 years ago, she had the best exercise videos. I'm telling you, just, well, maybe I shouldn't mention that. Well, she wore leotards.
Oh, no.
And when you're doing all that stuff to, this is the day that the Lord, I'm telling you, I wanted to get some of that spirit.
You wanted some leotards?
Oh, I used to look good in leotards, mate. You've got no idea. I was a talk of the town back in the day, mate.
I am sure you would have been.
Tiger stripe leotards. Oh
goodness. You and Richard Simmons should have gone into business together. So, honestly, they actually got on TV. I watched her, and they played the clips where Kenneth Copeland had advised people not to get vaccinations because it was a lack of faith.
Oh, boy.
And they didn't. And so this is the first outbreak of measles that they know of in recent history. And it took place in a Word of Faith church. The Word of Faith church. And then Kenneth Copeland's daughter got up and suggested that everybody get a vaccination. And then she said, but if you and your family feel like you've covered this by faith, then don't do it. This either or about faith is a deadly combination. So what she's saying is those of you who have no faith, go get the vaccination. Oh, we're all for it. I have no patience for it. And I kind of wish that I did now what I did then, because I would love to do what I just did.
Gospel Revolution.
Now, Jeff, you've got a list of names of people who've already given into this pledge drive. Who are they?
Well, we have a number of people, and I've got a list. So
you made a list. Who's naughty and nice?
These are all nice, wonderful folks. Love talking to them. Let's start out with Cecil and Betty Lou Hagen. They're in Gabriola, British Columbia. That's Canada. You know, they've been going to see Mike in his meetings since the Word of Faith days back in the late 80s. And Betty just said, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have this gospel. So we're happy for them. Mm. Then is Buddy Smith, and he stumbled on our PowerCast last November, and he has been sold ever since. And he's in Farmerville, Louisiana. We've got Robert Hines. That should sound familiar. Bob Hines in McDonough, Georgia. He wrote that book, you know. He wrote Redemption, A Declaration for All, Not a Choice for a Few. We had him on the show a few weeks ago. I think your memory is starting to fail. And now we've got Todd and Angela Gray in LaPorte City, Iowa. Also been around since the Word of Faith days. They love this gospel. They have raised their kids in this gospel. Their kids have not known what it's like to be dragged to church and have religion shoved down their throats, and they think that's just the best thing that they could ever do for their kids.
Wow.
Then, of course, we've got Michael Blanche in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He's the vice president of Mike Williams Ministries Incorporated. We've heard from him. And then we've got Billy Thompson in Wachuca City, Arizona. And Billy's been a dear. She was here for the first gospel summit we held in Houston. And that's where she met our wonderful Jackie Barnard.
Did I tell you I had a dinner date with her?
Ah, yes, you did.
Yeah, but unfortunately, Jackie was there.
Yeah. Then we got a wonderful dear man. His name is Roy Muse in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia. Now, Roy, he stumbled on to Mike through a book that he had from Gary Sigler. And he saw a mention of Mike Williams. So Roy got some of Mike's tapes. And he said, oh, my God, this is too logical not to be true. And he had three buddies, church-going buddies, that he really wanted to get this message to. So his way of going about it was he gave them the tapes and said, now, this guy is going to tell you that everybody's saved. Well, forget all that and just listen to everything else he said. All three of them came back and said, you know, you told us not to listen to that part about everybody being saved, but the guy made sense. We agree. I think he's right.
That's like what you say to someone, now, don't think about an elephant.
Yeah. So that was a great tactic. And, you know, if that's a tip for you folks, use it and give Roy Muse the credit for it. Then we got a dear soul, Arthur Wirtz, in Brandon, Manitoba. That's in Canada. And Art, you know, he's getting on in years. And his son, Howard, they have loved this gospel ever since they first heard it. And, of course, Art was listening to Mike also back in the Word of Faith days. So they go way back with Mike. And then we got Pep Washburn. He's in Marshfield, Wisconsin.
He's never had a lot to do with the gospel revolution, has he? Just
actually,
a bit of,
Pep has had quite a bit to do. He has brought Mike into Wisconsin 4 or 5 times now. We brought him in last October, a year ago October.
I heard he was a troublemaker.
Oh, he is a troublemaker. That he is. The way he started listening to Mike is he was going to a church, and not far from that church, Mike was holding meetings at another church. And so his pastor said that this guy is holding meetings in this other church, and what he's saying is heresy. Do not go there. Do not listen to him. Well,
do not think of an elephant.
Do not think of an elephant. Yeah. Then we've got the lovely Dale Van Sickle. He's an awesome guy, too. He came down to our Tampa meetings. He's been to the Augusta meetings. He's been to the Gainesville meetings. And just a great guy. He's in Clyde, Western North Carolina. He's in the mountains. And then we got Bud and Ruth Ramsey, also two folks who have been following Mike since the Word of Faith days. And they're in Park River, North Dakota. And they say hi. And then we got Todd Bamberger in Rockford, Illinois. I love talking to Todd. He makes a joke about it. It's like the only time you call me is when you're in a pledge drive wanting money. But I really enjoy talking to him. We always spend at least an hour on the phone talking whenever I call. And but he's happy to give, loves to give. Then we've got Howard Wirtz, Dauphin, Manitoba, son of Art Wirtz, longtime friend, and good folks. Howard and Manda. His wife's name's Manda, not Amanda, Manda. So we thank you guys. And then we've got Mike and Joyce Camelotis. We call him Chemo. And he's in Chandler, Arizona. That's the Phoenix area. And he loves this gospel, and he's got his friends listening to it. He's got Brad and Holly Wilson listening to it, and they're just eating it up. Then there's Glenn Buchholz. He's in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. And Glenn, I don't know if you've caught up yet on your PowerCast. You told me you were a couple weeks behind. But we always appreciate you, Glenn. You've been there every time we've ever needed you. And then we've got Pastors Ted and Pat Winsett in Decatur, Alabama.
Yeah, they're another pair of latecomers like Pep Washburn, aren't they?
They are latecomers, yeah. Yeah, they are. I don't know exactly when Ted first started listening to Mike. And then, of course, you know, we've had him call in the show a lot. And
yeah, where is he? I haven't heard from him for a while.
Actually, for the past 3 or 4 months, he kind of updated me. He's had, you know, cataract surgery on his eyes, and that didn't go right the first time, so something had to be redone.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, and he's had a couple other things going on health-wise. So, yeah, he's been kind of down and out. He hasn't been able to play golf since May, which is really, really driving him nuts.
Well, mate, that's when you know a guy's really sick.
Yeah. So
when a man is sick on his day off, he is really sick.
He's really sick. He is really sick. Oh, here's a dear couple, Tom and Linda Wilby in Fredericton, New Brunswick. They're a couple hundred miles north of Maine. And sweet couple, Tom is just an absolute gospel fanatic. He is so in love with the gospel. And Linda's very happy, too, that he's in love with the gospel because he used to be pretty religious. So. And then we got Jerry and Susan Berman in Longwood, Florida. That's in the Orlando area. And Jerry's also a really cool guy. He likes restoring classic cars. And so every time I call him, he is working on a car.
I need one.
Yeah. Paul Havard. Also a great guy. He's in Cheltenham, Gloucestershire, England. I think that's just north of London. I don't know if you're aware or familiar with that. But
just west of Germany, actually.
Just west of Germany. A few hours and a swim. Alvin Cooper, longtime friend of Mike's, longtime supporter of the ministry, great guy. He's in Cape Coral, Florida, and he doesn't listen to the PowerCast. Actually, probably one out of three of these folks don't listen to the PowerCast. They're just not listeners one way or the other. Some of them just don't get on the internet. So a lot of our donors, actually, folks, they're not internet savvy. And so the only way they hear from us is phone calls and postal service. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah. Then we got Wayne Jensen.
We should write a book for those people.
Yeah, we did. We had to. Wayne Jensen's in Bingham Lake, Minnesota, and we really only hear from him through our newsletter that we send out in the mail. He just sends in his pledge drive donation, and I think I've only spoken to him twice in 3.5 years. But thank you, Wayne. I don't think you're listening either, but if you are, great.
Does he donate every pledge drive?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Wow, Jeff, that's some kind of loyalty. Even without being called, the man just... No telling the influence this gospel's had over the years, is there?
No, you know, we talk about this a lot, and we'll hear from somebody out of the blue who hasn't talked to Mike for 5, 6, 8 years, and they've just been off busy living their life thanks to the gospel message they heard from him 5, 8 years ago, you know, and they're too busy living life now. Mm. So we hate losing them, though, when they do that. We really wish they'd stick around. Then Randy Johnson, this is a dear guy. He's in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he's a monthly giver. Several of these are monthly givers, but he's a monthly giver, and it seems like he always beats our newsletter. Before we can even get our newsletter out, he knows there's a pledge drive coming, and in addition to his monthly, he sends in extra for the pledge drive, and just a dear soul, and... Randy, if you're listening, I owe you a phone call. We haven't talked in a while. Then we've got the lovely Michael Bond, our guest on last week's show in Marietta, Georgia. And thank you, Michael. And thank you for that heartfelt interview you did. I know you're listening. Then we have Robert Vacanti. Man, this guy has always been there for us in a pinch. And he's just a wonderful guy. He makes his living as a musician. And when he's not singing, he's out on a lake fishing, and he's catching a lot of walleye. And he's in Ottertail, Minnesota. And last but not least, another wonderful soul, Walter Wilson in Selma, Alabama. And just a sweet guy. When you talk to him on the phone, he's just got such a tender tone to his voice. He's retired now. Really great guy. So this is a good start. We're at about 30% of our goal. Our goal is 10,000. We need every dollar out of that 10,000. So it's a good start, but we're really going to need to push a little harder here because this is about half the normal number of people that give, and we're only 30% to our goal. So I'm really hoping we can get some people to dig a little deep if they can. If they can. I know there's people out there who can, and we never ask anybody who can't to give a dime. We really don't. But that's it. That's where we're at so far.
Didn't you say that you and Mike Williams make contributions? Didn't you say you're donors?
Yeah, Mike and I contribute monthly to the ministry. Yeah. So sometimes more than monthly.
So why aren't your names there?
We didn't do anything extra for this pledge drive because things are a little tight right now. But yeah, so let me announce that Barris Bartlett just became a monthly contributor to the Mike Williams Ministries, to the Gospel Revolution.
Now, the reason why I just became a monthly subscriber to the Gospel Revolution is really very simple. I'm not prepared to ask anyone else to do something I'm not prepared to do myself. And up to now, I haven't been a monthly subscriber. Now, I put my hand in my own pocket for other stuff, for equipment and so forth. But I think it's about time that I actually pulled my finger out and committed for a regular amount. Now, what fired me up was Michael Blanchard's I mean, how simple is it? If every one of the people who are listening to the broadcast gave $10 a month, and that was all it was, if that's all they did, you cannot believe where this gospel would be going out over the airwaves, and overnight there would be a revolution. So I'm not going to ask you to do what I'm not prepared to do. I wonder how many of you are prepared to put your hands in your pockets. $10 a month. Come on, it's not that much. And we can't love you any more than we love you right now. So we're not going to love you anymore. But listen to some of these testimonials and tell me that ain't worth $10 a month. Okay, bud. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
And here we've finally got Michael Blanch, the Vice President of the Gospel Revolution, on the phone. G'day, Michael Blanch. How are you, sir? And thanks for joining us.
I am very well, Barris. I am speaking to you from lovely Minnesota. Last time we spoke, I was in balmy Houston. Though I gotta say, we are expecting 100-degree weather in snowy Minnesota.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, Michael, you're a trustee on the board of the Gospel Revolution. In fact, you're the vice president of the Gospel Revolution. And I want to ask you, what is the state of the nation?
Well, in terms of the fundraising drive?
Yeah.
Well, we need resources in order to make sure that the gospel of redemption is being heard. And on the last podcast, Barris, we talked about it does come down to resources. And the first question I ask is, does this ministry really make a difference in people's lives? You know, I heard some of the testimonials that came in this last week. I even saw myself as a strong supporter of the ministry saying, a longtime listener, first time giver, you know? You got to ask, you know, and I think Michael's been just a little too shy about asking for funds. And I kind of get it because, again, we come from that background where we saw so much control manipulation to force people to part with their money. And I said, Michael, this ministry is about changing people's hearts and their lives. I know for myself, I've got this space in my heart where I feel better connected with my partner, my family, my coworkers, and everyone in my life. And there's no way in the world that would have been possible had it not been for the true gospel of redemption. I mean, you add one little dash of law, it ruins the whole thing. So does it make a difference if you believe that freeing people from guilt and shame and finding a capacity in their heart to love others and feel more connected to their brother and sister, and you've got more joy and a little more peace on a daily basis? Imagine sharing that with the world, because you know that's rare. And that's why I would encourage everyone to give what they can to further this message of hope and redemption. I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to hear this podcast and for understanding that it does take resources to spread this message of connectedness and redemption. And so thank you so much. And I wish you all much peace and love. And special thanks to all those people that contributed to this ministry. Like I said, a dollar a day keeps judgment and guilt away. So thank you for that.
It's wonderful, Mike. And so it is that we must leave you, folks. We love you one and all, and we especially thank those who, by their financial support, ensure that this weekly PowerCast always goes out on time. If you'd like to join them in increasing our coverage of this gospel of grace and peace, call our office at area code 321-220-4373 and speak to the man you've just been listening to, Jeffrey. If you would like to leave a message for the show, simply telephone us at area code 234-564-0971. That is 234-564-0971. Can I encourage you, call in and let us know what this gospel of grace and peace means to you. Would you please do that? Let us know that we're not doing this in vain. We just want to share with everyone else out there the incredible things that this gospel can achieve when the mind becomes transformed by it. Our web address is www.gospelrevolution.com, and we're always up for a Facebook chat at Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. Remember, no Christians were harmed in the making of this program, and thanks to Marcel Roos in the Netherlands, all the gospel all the time is being broadcast 24/7 at gospelrevolution.radiostream123.com. And so it is good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the Gospel Revolution studios in Nashville, Tennessee, and
from Jeff Robertson in the beautiful city of Houston, Texas.
Michael Blanch, Vice President of the Gospel Revolution, thanks so much for being with us tonight. Say goodnight to the nice folks, Michael Blanch.
Good night, nice folks.
And from Mike Williams also, thank you guys so very much. We love you to pieces. And thank you for participating in this fall's pledge drive. It is a very important one. And we stand on the brink of being able to reach the world. Please help us.
Remember to join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again.
Mucho better.
Mucho better. Well, you are in Texas, I guess.
Do you believe in the hereafter?
Yes, I believe in the hereafter.
Then you know what I'm here after.
Anything else you want to say?
Thank you for dressing up for me.
Yeah, I heard you say, has he got a shirt on? Listen, mate, do you think I'm going to let you see my glory?
Oh, no. I'm so grateful that you don't.
Gospel Revolution.